a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
It's going to be a tricky circle of swarm that we do at 720. You're right, Seth. Kind of jotting down names. I'm like, wow, it's slim pickings this week.
I feel
week.
Bad about some of the people that we're going to have to eject from it.
I do,
but,
too.
But actually, a couple guys are safer than upon reflection than I thought they would be.
Okay.
So we'll be good. Yeah.
Okay, good.
I mean, I'm intrigued to see who gets. Last week we had a lot of people really angry about multiple different players being left out of the circle of swarm, which is only six people. Only six people allowed.
Six
in the
and
of
only
swarm.
Six. Yes.
Yeah. No participation trophies here.
Yep.
And this week I'm curious. I'm really honestly very interested in who will be which players. Listeners will be upset that we left out.
Yeah.
So we'll get
or put in, as it were. You know, we'll
yeah,
see.
Yeah.
By the way, we did not mention this about the Thursday night football game. Micah Parsons left that game last night with an injury that he's got.
Oh,
to
he
get
didn't
in.
Come back?
Okay. He did not. Right. No. And he's,
I'll be honest with you. I was drifting in and out.
Yeah.
So.
No, x-rays were negative, but he's getting an MRI. So we'll see. It was a lower leg injury of some sort, but he did not come back in that game last night. Cowboys win 20-15. Now I'm looking, Micah Parsons did sit at his locker and talk to the media last night, so it wasn't one of those things where it wasn't a severe enough injury to where they sequestered him away somewhere else. So we'll keep an eye on that. All right, Texans and Jags coming up on Sunday. Noon kick, you can hear it right here on Sports Radio 610. Seth and I get the festivities kicked off at 9 a.m. Before we get to Bobby Slowick, we had a listener ask earlier, we've had a few people ask, like, where exactly do you guys do the pregame show? Fact is, there's just more and more people out there now that want to know this because the Texans are very popular. The stage is on the southeast, it's outside the southeast corner of the stadium. It used to be in Bud Light Plaza. So we're in that same general area. We're just outside Bud Light Plaza. You can't miss it. If you're standing outside the southeast corner of the stadium where you come in from you walk in from the blue lot and you've got the Astrodome on the right and NRG Stadium on the left. It's the gigantic stage with me and Seth talking on it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't miss it. So yeah, come
yeah,
by.
Yeah, it's not any of the other stages where you and I are talking on it. It's the one right in that location.
In that area,
that
yes.
About. Yes.
Yep. So come by and say hi, man. We love seeing the listeners out there. We appreciate it. Bobby Slowick met with the media yesterday. This is, I think it's safe to say, like, this is, I don't want to over-exaggerate and say this is a turning point with Bobby Slowick and the fan base, but I think this is the most skeptical, critical, whatever it is, that the fan base has been with Bobby Slowick since he got here. You know, last year was a honeymoon. This year's not a honeymoon by any means. Team's 2-1, but the offense has not looked nearly close to what people were thinking it was going to look like. Here's Bobby Slowick on how the play callers and the players get on the same page.
You execute, you know. I mean, really all the way across the board as far as last week goes. It really wasn't good by anybody. It wasn't good by coaches. We didn't do a good enough job as far as getting communicated what we want done. Scheme-wise, we didn't do a good enough job. And then when we were out there, just, I mean, the number of times we ran a play that everyone was doing what they were supposed to be doing probably could be counted on one hand. You know, which you doesn't matter who lines up across from you, you're going to have a rough time in a game like that. So we've made a commitment this week to we're worried about the Texans. We're ready to roll and just focused in on doing our job and doing it the way we want to do it. And let's go play clean football.
That count on one hand quote right there. That's a quote right there, man.
Yeah. In other words,
that's
guys,
good
we're
stuff.
Just, yeah. And that is, I think sometimes there's a tendency to think the offensive coordinator's job is calling plays and that's it. No, like when Bobby Slowick says they've got to execute, he's not excusing himself from this poor execution. That is specifically his job. I personally think the play calls have been just fine. It's just everything that Bobby Slowick just said, which falls on him, is that you've got too many guys doing the wrong thing or just getting their butts beat in any given moment. So players getting their butts beat. Okay, sometimes that's going to happen. Sometimes guys just flat out, they're not physically ready for it or they're still developing or what have you. But when they're using bad technique or when they're just simply not performing their responsibilities, yeah, that all goes back on Bobby Slowick. Their inability to get a run game going, that falls back on Bobby Slowick. Not picking up the blitzes. I don't care about how hard it is versus the Vikings. It was an issue before the Vikings. So that does all come back ultimately to Bobby Slowick. The one thing I worry about with this offense, and it's every offense in the NFL, it's when you start trying to get too complex or you start thinking you're more advanced than you were last year, then the more complex you get, the more guys screw up. So there's this constant balancing act between simplifying and executing what you're doing properly versus like having answers to stuff that the defense is doing to you. And maybe at this point you got to get back to basics in a lot of regards and say, all right, look, we're going to be a little bit more limited in what we ask you guys to do. We just need you to do it really, really well when we ask you to do it.
You can count on one hand the number of plays where everybody was doing their job. That is something, man.
Where's that Henry David Thoreau quote I had put in here? Here it is. Our life is frittered away by detail. Simplify, simplify, simplify. I say let your affairs be as two or three and not 100 or 1,000. And this goes, I think that Bobby Slowick might have been reading some Thoreau beforehand.
For sure.
He said this is what Thoreau said. Instead of a million, count half a dozen. Keep your accounts on your thumbnail. So, yeah, you could count on one hand the number of times they did things right. He just, yeah, I'd like to count on one hand or one thumbnail the number of plays we're trying to execute, and then maybe we'll get it right, damn it.
Someone comes up to me at a bar this weekend, and they say, hey, Sean, summarize your brand, Payne and Pendergast, in one sentence, you know, the culture of your show in one sentence that's been uttered on the show. I think I would play for them. Where's that Henry David Thoreau quote that I put in the rundown?
You know the fun thing about Thoreau is when he went off to live in his cabin and lived a simple life also? He did have his mom and his sister like stockpiling him with food every they would bring him nice little
cheater
packages, all that.
And cheater.
He would send his laundry back to his
no way.
To his mom's house.
I thought he was living a rustic life out there in Lake Walden. What the hell?
That's a comment. No, it's not his fault. He didn't present it as anything different than what it was. Yeah. People like to have this image of Thoreau being just a hermit out in the woods.
Yeah.
That had gone completely native. No. He had means. And it wasn't. Yeah. He wasn't jailed for not paying his taxes because he couldn't pay his taxes. It was he chose not to pay his taxes.
This is like finding out that the Notre Dame football team didn't really go in and forfeit their jerseys to get Rudy on the field in that last game.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I think of Thoreau in a completely different light right now.
Hey,
I think of him all the time.
How did you live the simple life? I went to live off in a distant corner of my vast estate.
He basically lived in his guest house. That's what he was doing.
Yeah.
That's great. Didn't see the show going this direction, but I like it. Let's get back to Bobby Slowick, the Henry David Thoreau of coordinators. What can you do to help prevent the offensive penalties, Bobby?
Our role is to ensure it does not happen. You know, I mean, we know the rules. This has been a recurring theme for us really since camp that showed up all the way across the offense. I know the offensive line was getting dinged last week. It's been with eligibles as far as alignment, illegal procedures, motion operation. I mean, like we have to get that cleaned up, and we are making sure that happens.
Yeah, again, going back to them trying to do all this advanced stuff and during camp saying it's cool because we got all this other good stuff already figured out. So now we're on to the 301 level stuff and the 401 level stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like planning for your retirement when you've been late to work every day this week, you know, and you've been fired three times in the last month.
Yeah.
It's just you don't put the cart ahead of the horse. Sometimes you got to go back to basics and start doing the simple stuff right before you can start planning for your retirement.
Yep.
That's where the Texans are right now. And a lot of the penalties, the frustrating thing about penalties is, you know, people continue to try to make excuses for Laremy Tunsil and how it's no big deal because that's just what good offensive tackles do. They try to time the snap count. I've done even further research into this, Sean, as I keep going back. Remember, Laremy Tunsil has 7 false starts already in 3 games.
3 games, yeah.
In the last 3 seasons, the all-pro offensive tackles have committed over the course of the entire season.
Love this.
Last year, there were Trent Williams committed 3, Penei Sewell committed 2. The year before that, Trent Williams committed 4, Lane Johnson committed 2. The entire season. The year before that, Trent Williams committed 1, Tristan Wirfs committed 2 false starts. So it turns out it is indeed possible to be a really good offensive tackle without false starting at a breakneck pace.
7 times.
Yes.
Do we know what the record is for I'm Googling right now. And
7 or 8. The last few years, I didn't find anybody that had more than, I think it was 8 or 9 false starts in a single season.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, he's and then if you go to pre-snap penalties, which is usually the illegal alignments.
Yeah.
He's way, way above. Usually it's like 10 is the record for the season.
Yeah.
For any offensive lineman or any player in general.
Right. I would just love to, I would love, if somebody could find out. I'm guessing that, you know, somewhere out there that exists. Like, we know. I'm Googling right now, and they don't have
No, Sean, I've got the data. You just asked me. I've got
No,
website.
No, I'm talking, like, the record for the... Like,
yeah, I know. I'm saying I know where to go for it.
Oh, okay. Well, if you find out, I would love to know, because that's something I'd like to track this year. And if Laramie gets close enough, then I start kind of rooting
for
him.
No, he's already very close to, like, at least a modern record.
For a full season.
It's astounding how bad he is at it.
Yeah.
He's really, really atrocious at it. And it's the other thing that drives me insane is that, and I don't know where these people are coming up with, like, I guess it's because they want to be contrarian or whatever to the way they need to defend Laramie Tunsil with his false starts. They'll say, well, that's part of him being such a good pass protector. Like, right. Like, okay, so how about he tries to be a good pass protector without
by not giving
cheating
up five
to such
yards.
An extreme degree.
Yeah.
Do you even know how good a pass protector he is?
Right.
Plus, these other guys that I mentioned that are all pros, they actually give a damn about run blocking.
Yeah.
So it's not, let's not reduce this down to pass protection being the only damn thing that matters. How about being a good, complete overall offensive lineman?
So what I'm hearing you say is he's already probably pretty close to the season-long record.
Oh, no. If he continued at this pace, he'd be...
Oh, this pace, for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, I'd like to get to a point, if he's that close, then I just want to start rooting for it to happen. I'd like to see ESPN stop games in other sports so they could pipe in the Texans game for a little bit, you know, like they did with Aaron Judge's at-bats. Uh-huh. For the American League, the long hallowed American League home run record. Remember, they cut into Big 12 football games for Aaron Judge at bats at like 11 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday to see if I'd like to see that. Like the Texans offense takes the field, and all of a sudden, bowling on FS1 or on ESPN, they've got a split screen while the Texans are on there to see if Laramie breaks the long hallowed false start record, because he's well on his way right now.
I can give you a hint as to perhaps what we'll see.
Okay.
Where last year the league leader in false starts had 9 false start penalties through the entire season.
Okay.
This year Laramie Tunsil has 7.
7
through just 3 games.
Yeah.
So 2 years ago Laramie Tunsil led the league with 7 false starts. So good for him, man. He's operating
at
almost 6.
He's consistent, dude.
Almost 6 times as good at jumping at false starts as he was 2 years ago.
Why are you all over him? He's consistent as hell. He's taking
3 years ago the league leader had 7, Alex Leatherwood. It's really astounding.
Right.
He's definitely going to set a record this year if he keeps this up.
Oh yeah. Okay, good. Well, then there's that.
I haven't found any. I've gone back 4 years, and the highest number was 9 in any given season.
Okay, he's going to sail past that.
Yeah,
he'll get to that by end of October, easy. By end of October, I mean end of September.
Oh,
he could get 2 more on Sunday.
The previous high water mark going back through 2019 was also Laramie Tunsil in 2019 when he had 12.
I've heard of him.
That's
tough. Yeah.
That's
he had 12?
Yeah, 12 in 2019.
Dude, this is absurd.
It's so
this
stupid,
is absurd.
Man. It's ridiculous.
I'm just kidding. I'm trying to make light of it right now, just because it's so exasperating. It's so dumb.
It's so selfish, man.
Yeah.
It's just a guy being in business for himself. Like in every other year, Laramie Tunsil's been among the like the top 1 or 2 at least 4 times in the last 6 years.
Yeah.
Or 3 times in the last 6 years. Yeah, like 9 false starts on the season has been like the usual high watermark for any player in the league.
Yeah.
So he's already surpassed that once, and he's well on his way to it this year.
Oh yeah. Let's hear more from Bobby Slowick here. We'll get to the Circle of Swarm in a couple of minutes. What does Bobby Slowick see with how teams are attacking the run game? Worked great in week 1 with Joe Mixon. It has worked poorly the last couple weeks. How are teams attacking the Texans' run game?
I'd say last week we ran the ball 9 times, so I don't even know if there's enough evidence there to go off of. If I mean, we had like 2.7 to carry, so we didn't do it well, but also you need to run it more than 9 times to really see how you're running the ball. The Chicago in particular was something that we know we could have executed better. We were closer to than what we were last week, but you know, just fundamentally really against Chicago we were a little loose, and then last week was really execution. But when it's things that are not physical, when it's things that, you know, are things we can correct, that doesn't make it any easier. You need to correct it, but it is fully, we're fully capable of correcting that.
This one annoyed me because a little bit of that baked into only running the ball 9 times is like, well, you don't want to be passing on 2nd and 10 after you got stuffed on 1st down running the ball. Right. You don't want to be running the ball on 2nd down. One leads to the other. Yeah. You can't run the ball, and you're shooting yourself in the foot with penalties, so you only have so many opportunities to run the ball. But you can't run the ball when you don't. You're less likely to run the ball the 2nd or 3rd time when you don't run the ball well the 1st time. So, I don't accept that part of it. I thought they showed plenty enough that they couldn't run the ball last week, though it was only 9 times.
Have you seen stuff that defensive linemen are doing against them?
The defensive line, they're slanting a lot. Run a lot of games and stuff, a lot of movement. It's really screwed Shaq Mason and Juice Scruggs up at time when a defensive tackle slants from the B gap to the A gap. And yeah, that's difficult, but there's ways to handle it and not look like haphazard fools while you're doing it. Some of that you can help out with play calling, you know, just either with more inside zone instead of outside zone, or you run traps or counters. And I don't know if the Texans are good enough at any of that. That all goes back to the old execution part of it. We're calling the plays that are theoretically answers for this D-line movement, but those aren't working either because guys can't do anything right.
You know who's getting a lot of love on the text page? Henry David Thoreau.
Oh, yeah?
Someone says, I'm about to throw up.
That doesn't sound like love.
Thoreau 101 through 601, available only at Cornell. Minor in Thoreau. Oh, man, that's funny. All right. Someone's asking if Prize Picks ever has a more or less than on Laremy Tunsil false starts. I don't think so, but they should. They should.
It's fascinating.
It is.
It's really, it's got to be even money on whether he breaks his own modern record for
right,
false starts.
Right.
12 is a pretty impressive number.
Dude.
I mean, 12 is a lot.
12 is like 60 home runs. You know, like that's. That's hard to get 12 false starts in a year.
12 false starts.
Here's the thing, too. This is going to sound like a backhanded compliment to Laremy.
Oh, crap.
Because it's a backhanded compliment to Laremy. But you've got to actually be a pretty good player to get 12 false starts in a season. Because most guys would probably get their job yanked from them after, like, the 8th one. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's like they used to say back in the day, there were only a handful of guys that lost 20 games in a season in baseball. And the fact of the matter is, you've got to be a pretty good baseball. You got to be a decent pitcher to lose 20 games because it means your team stuck with you through the entire season, losing 20 games. You know, like you see the guys that lose 20 games, their ERAs are actually sometimes kind of respectable. So same
Sean,
exact
I've
thing.
I've gone back through 2012 on this thing now, and it is very rare to see a league leader in false starts have double digit false starts.
Is 12 still the high that you've seen?
12 is still the high that I've seen. Laremy Tunsil's high watermark going back through 2011 was the 12 false starts he had in 2019.
Okay, good.
I'm back to 2011, yeah. And it's just there have only been a couple, two instances where it was double digits, maybe three, I think, and Laremy had one of them. He's well on his way.
How far
man.
Back is that website? Is that the NFLpenalties.com that you were talking about?
This is on Football Database.
Okay.
FootballDB.com.
How far back does it go?
I'm back down through 2010 now. Okay. Laremy still has the high watermark. Looks like I can go back to 2006.
Okay.
So this will be my... I'll do this at the end of the show.
Okay,
Figure out just how good Laremy is at false starting.
That's what we'll call the modern era. 2006. In the modern era, Laremy Tunsil has the most false start.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more reps, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, let's get to it.
You know, D'Amico always says, swarm.
What we're looking for is players, right, who are looking to swarm.
The swarm mindset, that whole mentality.
Right, we want players to have a special work ethic and a relentless mindset in everything that they do.
Who's in?
This is a special group of men, believe it.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Texans Circle of Swarm.
All right, we like that. Circle of Swarm. Love the
good
open,
job.
Ben.
Good job, Ben.
Yep, love the open. All right, so for those that are new to this, Seth came up with this a couple of weeks ago, and I love it. Circle of Swarm, like similar to the Astros Circle of Trust, in that it is focused on one of our teams here. The Circle of Trust with the Astros could have the whole team in it if need be, if they were all trustworthy. As you guys know, if you're a longtime listener, you know we do a Circle of Trust for the Astros. We'll probably do one in Monday or probably Tuesday of next week before the playoffs start. We'll do one heading into the playoffs. But those are just the Astros that we trust. The Circle of Swarm only has six people. Seth picks three, and I pick three. And it's all about the players that embody the swarm mentality the most, with some skewing to recency, right? It's not necessarily based on the Minnesota game, but the Minnesota game weighs probably a little heavier into it. But it's an overall grade, right?
Yeah, it's an overall grade. And I don't want to, like, if somebody's just been awesome all season and all of a sudden they have a bad game, he'll probably remain in it. We're still pretty young, so there's going to be a lot of movement here. I think kicker might be the one position that is going to fly wildly around based on previous performance.
Yeah, let's lay out who was in the Circle of Swarm as of a week ago at this time. You put in Nico Collins, Kamari Lassiter, and C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
I put in Azeez Alshire, Jalen Petrie, and coming off of two games where he kicked 650-plus-yard field goals, Kaimi Fairbairn. We had a kicker in the initial Circle of Swarm, and I am not apologetic about it at all.
No, me neither. At the time. But I would handicap it as him not having a good chance of making it this week.
Not on my list. So.
He's a victim of his own success. He misses a 50-plus yarder these days. I'm like, bum.
Which he did. He missed.
I know kickers that never miss 50-plus yarders,
right.
Ever.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, the honor is yours, sir. Would you like to go first?
No, well, you go first this week because I went first last week.
Yeah. I am putting in a newcomer to the Circle of Swarm. I am putting in... Will Anderson Jr. goes into the Circle of Swarm this week.
Will Anderson Jr.,
are you regretting letting me go first?
It's gonna make it difficult for me for another guy.
But I think Will Anderson Jr. deserves it. I think, if I'm not mistaken, either he or Danielle Hunter leads the league in pressures right now, and the other one is second. I forget what order it's in. But yeah. Will got his second and a half sack last week against Sam
pressures
Darnold.
Are a tricky stat, and I think in some sites Daniil is higher than Will, and in other sites vice versa.
But they are both swarming right now.
I think they've both been swarming. I think at times, you know, and Will's got the sacks to show for it. So I mean, I don't know where he is on the league leaders of sacks right now. I don't worry about it because it's early in the season. That stuff tends to balance out over time. But it's hard for me because I wanted to put one of those two guys in, and I'm not quite sure yet. So I'm gonna hold back for a little bit,
okay?
Because I was gonna put either Danielle Hunter or Will Anderson in.
Okay, yeah.
And last week people were upset that there were no defensive linemen in the Circle of Swarm.
So I wanted to get it out of the way this week. Yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and because I fear that somehow we might go through this and he wouldn't be in here.
Okay.
Despite C.J. Stroud not being amongst the league leaders in various passing categories right now, I think he's done the absolute best with what he's had to work with in a lot of respects with some of the issues on the offensive line. And I do think that some of the stats will get piled up as the season goes on. So I'm going to put mostly by virtue of his leadership through this stretch here where there's zero panic in his game. I think he's done a really good job of trying to address things and trying to, you know, do things the right way and not panic while also made some great throws last week that were wiped out by penalty.
Yep.
Or even great plays within a series that were later wiped out by penalty in terms of the series itself. So I'll put C.J. Stroud in.
I like it. C.J. Stroud in the circle. So he is a He was in last week. He's back in this week.
Yeah.
Will Anderson Jr. and C.J. Stroud, the two linchpins for the franchise moving forward, the first two. Yeah. All right, I'm up next here, huh? All right, I'm gonna put Stephon Diggs in the circle of swarm.
Okay, all right.
Diggs in the circle of swarm.
Okay, yeah.
Stephon Diggs, who was trying to kind of take the leadership role on the sideline last week, 10 catches, 94 yards. I think this is probably a swarm nomination that factors in everything going back, even maybe preseason, and how Diggs has been viewed by the team as a mentor and whatnot. And I think some of it, Seth, is, I'll admit, wishful thinking for this weekend, that when Diggs, who as of right now might end up being their primary offensive weapon.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Nico Collins has a hamstring issue that popped up on the pot, was added to the injury report late yesterday.
Yeah. So I'm putting Diggs, Stephon Diggs, circle of swarm. Someone asked on the text page, was Diggs in last week? He was not. He makes his first appearance in week, we'll call it week four because it's leading into this weekend. But I'm putting Stephon Diggs in the circle of swarm.
Okay, I'll tell you what, man. This circle of swarm is going to end up coming back on Bobby Slowick in a big way. I once, Sean, my college coach got fired basically because he had too many good football players on his team, but we didn't win.
Translate.
In a year where we had two players from Cornell drafted, one on offense, one on defense, for the first time in decades since a Cornell player had gotten drafted, we went 4-6.
Oh, wow.
And the administration was like, what the hell's going on here? How do you have you got a running back go get drafted in the NFL, you got a defensive lineman,
running
you
back?
Got your 4-6. Yeah, Chad Leavitt. they made him a fullback in Oakland, back
okay.
when fullbacks were more of a thing.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Nico Collins.
Oh, wow,
I can't
we got
leave
two
him
wideouts,
out.
Huh? Okay.
We've got a quarterback and two wideouts on one of the worst passing offenses in the league. This might be the most fraudulent circle of swarm in the history
is
of
that
circle
our fault?
Of swarm.
Is that our fault? It's
no,
not our fault.
It's Bobby Slowick's fault, damn it. Get your butts in gear, offensive line. The offensive line is destroying the circle of swarm.
Right.
That's how bad the offensive line is.
Yes.
Including Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard.
Yes.
They're part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and the defense, too. Like, if the defense had been truly swarming last week, then there would be, now my guess is there's going to be at least one, if not two, defensive players to close this thing out. But thus far, I have put in Will Anderson Jr. in the circle of swarm and Stephon Diggs. Seth has put in C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins. Our quarterback.
Okay, C.J. is the one. Honestly, C.J. might be the most controversial choice so far. I'm not going to check the text line until we're done with this.
Yeah.
But I feel like C.J. might start getting some heat. But I still trust that much in C.J. and for his leadership through this devastating stretch where the Texans are 2-1.
All right.
but still, it was devastating last week.
I'm down to two, and I can't decide. Do I go with the tried and true who's already in the circle of swarm? Good game last week, or do I go with the newbie at the same position? I'm going to go with the tried and true. Because I've gone newbie on my first two. Aziz Alshire should remain in the circle of swarm.
Okay, all right, okay.
He should remain. He had 10 tackles and two TFLs. Yeah. He hit the QB a few times.
So for me, on my list that I had seven candidates.
Yep.
Five of them are in already.
Me too.
This comes down to...
I can't wait to see if you and I have the same list. This
comes down to me for Danielle Hunter and Jalen Petrie.
Oh, okay.
So Jalen Petrie was in it last week.
He was in it
last
week.
Who was yours?
I put Tim Settle on kind of a back burner.
All right. I'm going to put him in as an upcoming candidate.
Okay, Real quick. He's on the Circle of Swarm watch list.
Yeah. After I complete the circle here, I'll play a little bit of audio from... Now, we didn't have to play that audio, but yeah, Tim Settle definitely is a rising potential Circle of Swarmer. All right, this is the thing about Petrie. I think last week was a little bit of a sign of the weakness this defense might have if you're using Jalen Petrie basically as your third linebacker. There were times last week where I think the Texans really would have liked to have been in a base 4-3, but they couldn't. They only had two linebackers play in the game last week because Jalen Petrie is basically their third linebacker. Mm-hmm. And then there were a lot of other times where they had to be out there and dime, I think, because Jalen Petrie's not as good in coverage as your average cornerback. So they were light in the pants last week.
Yep.
They were just a... They were, and so there's some things Jalen Petrie's not going to be able to do as well as a linebacker, and that hurt them a bit last week, and he got kind of exposed a little bit in coverage at times last week. So I will eject Jalen Petrie for the week. I still admire the – he plays like a Circle of Swarm member.
He does.
But he's just it wasn't good for them last week the way the defense was structured. So I'll go with Danielle Hunter. I just had hesitation about putting both those guys in. But Danielle Hunter also, by virtue of his unsportsmanlike conduct penalty.
Hitting Darnold in the back of the legs?
It wasn't a dirty hit. No. It was an aggressive football play.
Yeah.
All the Vikings players after the game said, no, it wasn't dirty or whatever.
Yeah,
but it was a hit on the quarterback that knocked him out. And, you know, it was clean... as far as dirty hits go.
Right.
The intent was not there.
Right.
So he, at that point, he potentially would have given the Texans a chance to be back in the game if Darnold had been out. So, Danielle Hunter is in there. Alshire, I'm good with. Alshire, it's not like he had a spectacular game or anything, but week in and week out, that's the kind of passion, energy, and hard-hitting
for sure
style that you want.
For sure. Before we recap the six that are in, the other name I had written down... And I've not gone back and watched that Vikings game just because it's 34-7. But I know you probably have. Where is Henry Toa Toa on the Swarm watch list right now?
He was not on my Circle of Swarm watch list.
Gotcha.
Not based on last week. He's still a work in progress.
Okay.
He was more you. More of his youthful issues showed up last week than had in the first 2 weeks. I still like him a lot, but he's still a work in progress as a player. He's leaps and bounds ahead of where he was last year, but he needs some seasoning still.
You got excited when
I
said...
Do we know if Christian Harris is going to play football this year, by the way?
He's on IR, so we will know more after this week. You know, it's a four-week
thing.
Yeah,
he's on the four-week IR. He's eligible to return after this week.
Right. So I think it's been kind of out of sight, out of mind. You know, I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, but I don't feel like this is a no good news is good news. What's the old saying?
No news is good news.
No news is good news, yeah.
I would agree with you on that, yeah.
I would have liked to have heard a report somewhere about, like, oh, yeah, by the way, did you see Christian Harris?
Right.
Timing himself in the 40 just because he felt so good and wanted to see if
timing
he could break
himself.
4.6. Yeah.
Hits the stopwatch and starts running.
Sean, oh wait, our listeners can appreciate this.
Yeah.
That's one of the hardest things to do and be honest with yourself about is timing yourself definitely in a 40. We've all run 4.6 40s when timing ourselves.
What's the fastest 40 you've ever run timing yourself?
The fastest self-timed 40.
Right.
I definitely ran a 4.7 at some point. But then also, when you're training on your own for your conditioning test, like when you're getting ready for your football conditioning test, when you're just, you know, you don't have a group to run with or whatever, so you're trying to time yourself, it's hard to be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
But it's good. I think usually you err on the side of caution there. So I remember I used to have to run by myself a lot after I got done working on the farm all day. And I'd be out there, you know, with my 110 yards marked off at the farm. And I would be like, crap, I'm not even making any of these times.
Yeah.
And then I would show up and do the conditioning test in college after, you know, not having worked a 10-hour day.
Right.
And I was just dusting it. I'd be like three seconds ahead of everybody else. Guys are mad at me because I'm making them look bad.
Oh,
yeah.
That's funny. That is funny. Seth, you're a damn liar. Your college coach got fired for besmirching the good name of Thoreau.
He plagiarized a pregame speech
from
Henry David Thoreau.
All right, to recap the Circle of Swarm for week four for the Jags game this weekend, based on prior performance, Will Anderson Jr., C.J. Stroud, Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, Azeez Alshire, Danielle Hunter. Those are marquee players. I would prefer if some blue-collar guys would start showing up on this thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are, if coming into the season, those are six of your probably 10 most noteworthy guys.
I think Alshire is the blue-collar guy in the bunch.
He is,
I don't think he's going to be all-pro or anything like that, but I think in terms of just having an old-school middle linebacker, that kind of ethos about him. I like Al Shire in the circle of
the rest of these guys are all like NFL top 100 guys. Will Anderson Jr. and C.J. Stroud.
Swarm-like. Yeah, the whole whatever swarm means to you.
Well, and it means that at least at some levels on the higher part of the roster, they've been very good at evaluating swarm mentality.
Well, it's special work ethic and relentless mindset. I feel like those guys are emblematic of all
right. Maybe they feel.
But also with a little bit of like actual football playing ability.
Great if
like
one offensive lineman would show up on this thing. You know what I mean? That would be fun.
Dude, there's no way.
Ever? In this season?
No. Kenyon Green, Juice Scruggs, and Shaq Mason have the potential for it. Not by the way that Shaq Mason has been playing right now, or Kenyon Green, but they're more like swarm-like dudes.
Yeah.
The offensive tackles, like, those dudes are Gucci offensive tackles, man. They got no appetite.
Even if they have good games, you won't allow it.
They got no appetite for the ultra-violence. Yeah.
All right, weigh in. How do we do? Circle of swarm. Will Anderson Jr., C.J. Stroud, Steph Diggs, Nico, Aziz, Daniil Hunter. Hey, we've already got some juice for next week's game at NRG. Not the Jags game. I'm talking about the Bills game next week. Thank you, Bills. Thank you, Josh Allen. We've got that for you coming up next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, if you missed it, previous segment, we did our Circle of Swarm for the week. Will Anderson Jr., C.J. Stroud, Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, Aziz Alshire, and Daniil Hunter. The players that at current time, based on last week and the overall body of work, the six players that in the eyes of Payne and Pendergast most embody the swarm mentality. So those are the six. If you think that we missed one, if you think we're being a little silly rewarding an offense that scored 7 points last week, such as your right. Well, there's a text page you can weigh in on 713-572-4610.
This is one of those things where it's an individual award, and I think it's emblematic of just how underperforming the offense is that you've still got a couple of receivers on there and the quarterback, and yet the offense has not looked good.
Yep.
So that falls back on everybody else on the offense, as well as Bobby Slowick, the offensive coordinator, Chris Strausser, the offensive line coach. They're underperforming right now.
Yep.
They got to get their crap together, dang it.
All right, so if you want to weigh in, 713-572-4610. Josh Allen said this after the Bills win over the Jags on Monday Night Football, 47-10. Bills beat the Jags on Monday Night Football, and after the game, Josh Allen said this.
Fun and wonderful thing when you had a bunch of guys that don't care about the stats, they don't care about the touchdowns. And again, I think throughout practice, we've just had this mindset of like, hey, let's just do things the right way and find ways to win football games. That's what we're doing right now.
All right, so so that was
I know
was perceived as a jab.
You don't say.
Right in the gut. Stephon Diggs.
Sean, what did I tell you? What did I tell you from the onset? This is how it always happens. Whenever you have a situation like you had here, had with Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen, anything you say positive about anybody else gets perceived as a slight against the original feud member.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if at some point this year the Texans actually have a good game offensively and Stephon Diggs says something nice about C.J. Stroud, it's 100% going to be perceived as like, oh, yep, there you go. And now it would be hard because, you know, obviously right now Josh Allen's got the upper hand in terms of how things are going. Versus
between
Stephon
Diggs and
Diggs.
Him,
yeah. So I don't. If the Bills keep playing the way they're playing, then it's going to be even when CJ plays well, it's not going to look like this is how we are down here. The really interesting thing will be after the Bills game, after the Texans play the Bills.
Yeah, they play each other in a week.
Whoever wins that game, like either the Diggs quote or the Josh Allen quote, it's going to be perceived as a slight against the other guy.
Yeah, we're allowed to look ahead a week past the Jags. We're not looking past the Jags in terms of disrespecting them. But this was a big story this week, what Josh Allen said, and it just so happens that these two teams play each other on October the 6th at NRG Stadium. Now, Josh Allen did kind of try to clarify or walk back some of what he said. I don't know if he walked it back, kind of clarified what he said yesterday in his press conference.
I know there's a lot of people talking out there. Again, I'm not trying to tear down anybody. I've loved everybody that I've played with, you know, and you don't have to tear other people down to build each other up. And, you know, we're building each other up right now, and that's all we're trying to do. We're trying to stay together as a team, and we're really caring about each other. And, you know, everybody in this building's got that feeling. You know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
I love 14. I still do. But everyone wants to keep making this thing a thing, and you know, we're so focused on what's going on inside of our building, and that's the only thing that we're caring about right now.
Headline: Josh Allen declines to say Stephon Diggs' name when discussing him.
Yes. Referred to him as a number.
Remember when people were offended that Caserio called Deshaun four, or the player called him the player instead of Deshaun Watson? Yeah.
Yeah. We're not going to trade the player. I remember that. That was fun.
Josh Allen won't even say his name. Right. That's how much he hates him.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's a slight. You know, like in the corporate world, like when you're a worker bee employee, they're like, oh, I'm just a number to this company. You know what I mean? So that's all Stephon Diggs is to Josh Allen. He's just a number. He's 14. Not even the right number anymore. He's one to us. He's number one in our hearts and minds.
I think why it's easy to read into that initial statement by Josh Allen is because it's true. I think everything he said is true. They are operating like a more fully functioning, well-oiled offense. And Josh Allen is playing more like a seasoned NFL veteran quarterback.
Yeah.
This is the year where it really looks like it's clicked for him. And sometimes, without it being an insult to the individual player, receiver, or tight end, or otherwise, sometimes losing that one option that you've been trying to get it to, I don't think that Josh Allen was trying to get to the ball to Stephon Diggs for multiple years because Stephon Diggs was demanding it of him. It's because that was a really good go-to.
Made sense,
for him.
Yeah.
We saw that here with Deshaun Watson when DeAndre Hopkins was gone.
Yep.
Deshaun became a better quarterback that next year because he had to distribute the ball more. We saw it with Eli Manning back in the day when Shockey was gone, that he became more of a complete quarterback because he wasn't trying to get the ball to his security blanket all the time. So it's one of those realities that, yes, ultimately you can say it's a positive for that quarterback, but also, man, if the quarterback had figured it out, it would be really nice to have those options plus still be distributing it to everybody else.
Yeah.
And the Bills were trying to do that last year, and they made a lot of inroads once Brady, the new offensive coordinator, took over. It's just this year, he looks like he's got it completely.
The first cut, hey Ben, pull the first cut up again, the one that was perceived as a slight at Diggs. I don't want to play the whole thing. I'll down cue you on it. Play it one more time.
Fun and wonderful thing when you had a bunch of guys that don't care about the stats, they don't care about the touchdowns.
I'm down. There we go. I guess I agree. He would know better than I would. I would submit that if you had a full room of receivers that didn't care about stats and touchdowns, you probably don't have a really good room of receivers.
I mean, yeah, they're gonna care.
The good ones,
degree,
the great ones, all three guys on the Texans in the offseason talked about, like Tank Dell talked about his goals being 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns. Like, they all care. It's how much can you put it aside for the good of the team?
It's the whole like thing in life of trying to balance that. Look, you're never going to eliminate desire, right? Okay, if you want, but you don't want to grasp for things.
Yeah.
Grasping is the issue, or becoming fixated on things. So it's always finding that balance of, all right, yeah, of course I want to lead the league in wide receiving yards.
Right.
Of course I want to lead the league in touchdowns, all of that. But you got to keep in mind and keep yourself in check. And I think that's what it comes down to is that, in any given game, you're not going to be the guy that throws a tantrum because you're not getting enough targets. And really, even internally, you know, you got to tell yourself, like, oh, it's cool, I'm doing my job, and that's all right. Like, so it's finding that balance. And I think so far, Stephon Diggs has been really good at that. It's only been tested a little bit. And last week, he ended up getting a bunch of targets. It wasn't a breakout performance or anything like that. But I think he's been saying all the right things. I think that, you know, the fact that he was one of the voices saying, hey, we got to stick together and everything after last week's game, that's the kind of stuff you want to see.
Yeah.
It's three games into it. There's plenty of room for more adversity down the line. But whatever issues they had in Buffalo last year, I'm not worried about it right now. It's now if the offense doesn't click at some point, then that's when, which it hasn't yet. But if it continues to not click, then I would start to get a little bit more increasingly nervous every week.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a football Friday, Thursday Night Football last night. Cowboys beat the Giants. We got the Texans coming up at noon on Sunday here on Sports Radio 610. There's some other interesting games going on around the league this weekend that affect the Texans or just supremely entertaining for storyline reasons. So we'll stack the card for you. We got the undercard, the midcard, and the main events for this weekend. We'll run through the schedule this weekend. What intrigues us the most when it comes to the card this weekend in the NFL? That is next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.